Thank you for allowing me to be here this morning. I was commenting earlier when I came into your sanctuary that my home church has a sanctuary just like this, and we have the yellow pews and the red carpet. So I'm used to this. It's like coming back home, you know. So I appreciate it. I was just like, wow, it had the brick across and the ceiling and that lantern. I was like going, I think, and that's why I asked, when was this built? And you said 76. Is that right? And I was like, I think that's when my home church's sanctuary was built in 76. So duplicate copy here. So from what I understand, you all are going through a series in Acts. And y'all have finished Acts chapter, you've done Acts chapter 9, and I'm finishing up 9, 32 through 43. So as we looked at, as y'all have been looking at Acts, Acts is a story of the gospel moving out from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. That's the outline of Acts, and you have characters in Acts. You have all these characters in Acts, right? You got Peter in the first five chapters. You know, and we're gonna look at Peter today. By the way, we're gonna look at his character a little bit, because there's a reason why we're gonna look at Peter in these verses. And then you have in chapter 6 and 7, you have Stephen, the first martyr. That's the story of Stephen, and the church is moving through these people, persecution. Chapter 8, the church is scattered because of persecution. Then you have Paul. Paul chapter 9 starts Paul, the conversion from Saul to Paul. And then you go back to Peter. So Luke is writing the gospel and he's carrying through the theme of a narrative. The church moving from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. And there's a narrative of the gospel going forth. And then you have this little section in 32 through 43 that I really think that what Luke does here is he starts to slow down the narrative. And he starts to give detail by detail by detail. So let me read the verses, and then we'll get into the storyline. Let me read, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get into the storyline. By the way, you have notes in your handouts. You have they're stapled together front and back. So if you want to follow along, that would be the sermon. But let me just read it. Let me just read the verses to you, starting in verse 32 and going to 43. And then we'll pray. Now, as Peter went here and there among them, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Ananias, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Ananias, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. And immediately he rose. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in the upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, please come to us without delay. So Peter rose, and he went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all aside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all of Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon and a tanner. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today, for your love and your grace and your forgiveness. And thank you for this word, and thank you for the details here. And Lord, I ask that you bless this reading of your word and the preaching of your word and anything that's not of you. fall on deaf ears. And Lord, I just pray that you will give me grace as I preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you look at the outline, there are three main points. The gospel transforms our character. The gospel engages our whole person, the whole being. And the gospel interrupts our narrative. The gospel transforms our character. The gospel engages our whole being. And the gospel interrupts our narrative. You see, I really think that what Luke is doing here is he's really slowing down. Because he could have just said, Peter went here and he healed someone and they arose. Peter went there and this person was dead and said Jesus' name and they're alive. Boom, that's it. That's the whole story. Okay, we can now go home. But I think there's more to it than that. Because anytime the writers write, they're writing for a particular purpose. And here, I really believe that Luke slows down the action a little bit. Because I think slowing down the action and giving detail by detail by detail, he's trying to make a point by all the details. And sometimes we can miss the big picture because we don't understand the what? Details. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at Peter for a minute. Because Peter is a main character in Acts, but he's also a main character in the what? Gospels. And if you look at Peter in the Gospels and you look at Peter in Acts, you look at Peter when he writes 1st and 2nd Peter, he is a transformed person. So we're going to look at three aspects of his character that I think is highlighted in these verses. Okay? So let's look at the Gospels. And then let's look at Acts. First point with Peter is this. He has self-serving eyes. Look at his eyes in 1 Peter, in the Gospels. Peter took him aside, this is Jesus, and rebuked him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Okay, Peter is bold enough to rebuke God. Are you bold enough to rebuke God? He's bold enough to rebuke God. That's what the scripture just said, right? Then he says, Jesus turned to him and said, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. Peter has self-serving eyes. He's only looking at himself. This will never happen. And Jesus says, oh no, get behind me. But look at Peter in this passage. Look at him. There he found a man named Ananias bedridden for 8 years who was paralyzed. All right. He found. I think that word is there for a reason. He found Ananias. If you're going to find something, what do you have to do? I'm a little bit interactive. So what do you have to do if you got to find something? You got to start doing what? Looking. So he did what? He looked. See, in this instance in the Gospels, he's all about who? Never, Lord, are you going to do this. He's self-serving. But then in this passage, he found. He had to look. So Peter went from self-serving eyes to other-centered eyes. The transformation of character. Now we got to stop here and ask ourselves, do we look? Do we see? Because we got to start looking for people. Not at people, but for people. He found Ananias, which means he was looking. Are you looking? See, Peter went from self-serving to other-centered eyes. Second character, Peter, look at this one. Arrogant mind. Look at it. Look at this. Peter, I love Peter because Peter looks, I just love Peter. I can't wait to talk to him one day. Not right now, by the way. Peter declared, even if all fall away, I will not. I tell you the truth to Jesus. I tell you the truth. Jesus said to him, today and tonight, before the crows, twice, you yourself will disown me three times. So Jesus is saying, I tell you the truth. You will disown me. Peter, what's the next phrase Peter says? Peter said what? Insisted emphatically. Even if I have to die with you, I will never, what? Disown you. So Peter is arrogant. Jesus, when it says, truly, truly, I tell you, he's trying to make a point. Peter doesn't get the what? Point. He's very arrogant in the Gospels. Well, then look at here. Since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, please come to us without delay. So Peter rose and went. So from an arrogant person to a compassionate heart. See, Peter in the gospel is all about himself. But now he's about other people. He hears that he's needed and he arises and he what? Goes. It's not about who? Him. Beloved, the gospel life is not about us. It's about everything but who? Us. We make life all about who? Us. Me, me, what? Me. It's not about us. See, Peter didn't get that. It was all about him. He was arrogant. All about him. And now he hears there's a need and he arises and he what? Goes. We don't really know what was on his agenda. We don't really know what needed to happen before. But he stops and he goes another what? Direction. He has a compassionate heart. See, in the gospel, it's all about who? Him. Third time, the denial of truth. Now, we all know about Peter's denial. I'm not going to need to even read the passage. Peter denied Jesus three times. After saying he wouldn't, he denies him. But then look at this confession of truth. Twice in this passage, Peter said to him, Ananias, Jesus Christ heals you. Arise from your bed. But Peter put them outside and knelt down and prayed, turning to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. He says, the Lord Jesus. So in the beginning, he denies, I don't know that man. And then he says, Lord Jesus, arise. He knows the confession of truth. So he goes from denial to confession. Isn't that amazing of transformation of character? And see, I think Luke is slowing down the action for us to see that. A transformation of character. Now, as you get into chapter 10, I focus on Peter. I have a 7-year-old. Now, my 7-year-old, his name's Christopher. Whenever he's into a little project, a little thing, he would say, hold on, Daddy, hold on, I'm not done. Wait a minute. And he puts his hands up like, hold on, wait a minute, I'm not done. Well, it's almost the same thing here because there's some more that Peter has to learn. So, because you're going to see in Acts chapter 10 that he's humbled again. It's almost like, hold on a minute. We're not done. Same thing with us, is it? Hold on a minute. God's not done with you what? Yet. There's still more transformation to happen. You see, beloved, life is about the transformation of our character. It's not just transformation of our minds, but it's a transformation of our character. How we live. So now we're going to look at this passage from another angle. That's from the angle of Peter. But let's look at it again from a different angle. The gospel engages our whole being. Point number two. Now we're going to see now we're going to look at it from this angle over here. What does the gospel do? The gospel transforms all of our being. I think that's what Luke is getting at because of the details. You got to see the details here. Check this out. There he found, we just talked about that, the eyes. Transforms our eyes. I think that's so crucial. Transformed our eyes. Then Peter said, in Jesus Christ, the words of Jesus transforms the words. Beloved, our eyes need to be transformed. What we see, how we see, the way we see. Blessed be the name. I love that song. He gives and He takes away. He gives and takes away. Blessed be the what? Name. That I love that y'all started the service that way because we have to see a perspective of life. That God is moving in our stories, in our narratives. We're going to see that in a few minutes. But we have to see how He's moving. You see, Peter saw the words. What do we say on our lips? Do we actually praise the Lord when things are difficult? Do we actually have the word of the Lord on our tongues, on our mouths? He transforms our eyes. He transforms our tongues. I think Luke is trying to hit that. Number two, look at this. And Peter said to him, Ananias, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. And immediately he did what? What did he do? He rose. Said to Lydia, and near Joppa, the disciples hearing Peter sent two of them, urging him to go, please come. What did he do? He went. Through ears. Do we hear the Lord speak? Do we open our ears and allow the Lord speak to our ears, to our hearts, to us? I'm a counselor by nature, beloved. This is what I do for a living. I'm a counselor. So I ask a lot of my clients to hear. I ask my clients to come in and to be teachable and to hear and to wrestle. I want them to wrestle. I want them to hear. I want them to look at things from a different perspective, to wrestle. I had a client several weeks ago who said this to me. He goes, you know, I think the Lord is speaking to me. And I said, well, tell me. Well, I was in here and you said this to me and I didn't like it. I got angry at you. It was normally clients do, by the way. And then I went home. And then my best friend called because my best friend was worried about me. And my best friend said the same exact thing that you did. I didn't like him either, he said. Then he went to church that next week. And the preacher said the same exact thing that the best friend said that I said from the pulpit. And then he came back and he said, I think I'm beginning to get the message. Because I have to hear. And that was his biggest problem, was he wouldn't what? Hear. So God sent three different messages through three different people to get him to what? Hear. See, Peter heard and he went. He asked the person to rise and he what? He rose. What do you all need to do? What is God speaking to you? What's He asking you to do? Are you hearing? Let's look at the next one. Again, you've got to see the details here. Look at this. But Peter put them all outside He knelt down and prayed and turned to the body. See, Luke could have just said he put them all outside and he prayed. But he put them all outside. He knelt down and he what? Prayed. Luke is giving a picture of a man. He puts them outside the room. He kneels down and then he what? Prays. And then look at this. Check this out. This is so really cool. Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he, Peter, gave her his hand and raised her up. Isn't that amazing? Peter gave her his what? Hand. What's Luke trying to say? It's the posture. Posture is how we walk. Posture, we can slump over. We can kneel. But he's trying to say the posture. He knelt down and he prayed. He gave her his what? Hand. You see, the gospel is about our whole what? Being. There are times in life that you're going to have to give somebody your what? Hand. There's times in life where you're going to have to kneel down and what? Pray. There's times in life where you're going to have to have a posture of humility and surrender. Blessed be the name. Surrender. He gives and he takes away. That's what that whole song's about. Surrender. So I love that Luke includes these details. What is your posture to the Lord? What is your posture? Are you open-handed? Are you close-fisted? Are you kind of walking like this throughout life? Or are you looking, wow, this is absolutely amazing. What is your posture? See, I think that's what Luke is getting at. He's showing the detail by detail. He could have just said, hey, rise up, and she rose up, boom. Didn't have to say anything else, but he gives the detail of raising the hand, bowing before, kneeling, praying, all about posture. What is your posture? And then look at the heart. Look at this. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and charity. And Luke writes about the blankets and about the things that she made. Full of good works and charity, the heart. So he gives a little bit of the details of who this person, these people are. These people are real what? People. It's about the heart. I love what my professor, he used to say, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. So then, the last point. The gospel interrupts our narrative. Now, let me just tell you what the narrative, what does that mean? Because this is kind of psycho-speak a little bit. Our narrative is a story. There's a story going on here. There's a story of Acts. Our narrative is our story. And the gospel itself interrupts our storyline and moves us to a different place in time. Look at this. Three things about story. One is names. Luke points out that they have names. Ananias and Tabitha or Dorcas. He says their names. Names are important. Your name is important. Do you ever realize that your name is important? Somebody shout out their name. Shout out your name. Sarah? Your name is what? Important. Your name is important. Somebody over here, shout out your name. Shout out your name. Richard. Richard, your name is what? Important. Your name, you little guy over there, what's your name? Cameron? Cameron, your name is what? Important. Because Luke puts their name in here. It could have been some unknown person. But these people are real people with real names and real stories, and the gospel interrupts their story, and the gospel interrupts whose story? Your story. This church has a story, and the gospel needs to interrupt this church's what? Story. Because this church has a story. When was this church founded? Somebody tell me. I don't know. Yeah. Anybody know? How many? 130 years ago? It has a long story. This sanctuary was built in 76, they told me. It has a long story. You all have a story. This church is not just the building, it's you. You all have a story, and God uses your story. He interrupts these people's story because there's a name. Their names are important, and so is your name. This church is important. You all are important to the gospel because the gospel transforms people's what? Story. When two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of us. And the gospel will interrupt your story and my story. In the scriptures here, there are two stories. Somebody's ill, paralyzed, and the name of Jesus raises the dead and heals the paralytic. Now, we're not going to get into the whole, well, this is what should be happening now. No, not necessarily. Because that's in a particular time and particular place. However, I will say this, that the gospel transforms their story. These two people had a story, and the gospel transforms these two people's stories. But there's one other story. We got four people's stories here. You got Ananias, right? You got Dorcas. You got Peter. Who's the fourth story? There's a fourth story here. What? I'm sorry? Well, that wasn't what I was thinking. So maybe there's five here. Maybe there's five. I wasn't thinking that. So we're going to put five in there. That wasn't what I was thinking. Huh? All the residents. Yes! Because look at this. This is the whole reason of the stories. Verse 35. The interruption. And they turn to the what? Lord. Verse 42. And many believed in the what? Lord. So now you have all these stories that have been transformed because Peter interrupted these two people's stories. Isn't that amazing? And see, this is the whole point here, is the gospel interrupts your story. So how does the gospel interrupt your story? How does the gospel interrupt my story? How does the gospel change us to get involved in his greater story? Or, I like it, I'll just grab it, that one where I was going, the fifth story. The kingdom story. Because that's what the gospel does. The gospel changes the character. The gospel involves our whole being. And thirdly, the gospel interrupts our story. So what I want to ask you all to ponder and to think and pray is, how is the gospel interrupting this church's story? Because it interrupted here. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today, for your love and your grace and your forgiveness. And that you interrupt our stories. You interrupt our narratives and you bring us to the place where we see you. Blessed be the name of you, Lord. For you are an awesome God. And you change our character, and you want us to have all our being. You want us to be involved in a narrative of your kingdom story and interrupt our story. Lord, I pray for this church. I pray for the church committee. I pray that you will just interrupt this church's story, that you will bring the person that you've called to be here to this pulpit and to help change and transform not just this church, but this community and this world for you. In Jesus' name, amen.